Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
That music means that Sam Ellinger is in studio on a Monday morning. That's what you know. When that song comes on, it's like, my God, that's Sam Ellinger's music. What's up, man? How are you?
I am great. How are you?
You are refreshed coming back from a vacation just like I am.
That's a fact.
We are so in sync that we even line up our vacations along with one another. And I'm assuming that you're like me in that while you love vacation, you love your job and it's kind of fun to get back to it. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't dread Monday.
Yeah, I feel like I was thinking about this on the drive home from Colorado. I've said this a couple times, how excited I was to get back to work. Why are you shaking your head, Jake?
Dude, if I could have a month off, I would take a month off and have no regrets.
Well, there's a difference between you'd rather be on vacation and you're happy to come back to work. There's a difference there, right?
I guess, but I'm never happy to come back to work after a vacation.
Really?
I love my job.
Is it because of your coworkers?
I love what I do.
Because
of these a-holes I work with.
He actually just was like not looking forward to me coming back from him.
No, either one. I don't mind. You know, you're both equally annoying. I love my job. I love what I do. I don't have a problem waking up at 3:15 every morning and coming to work. I don't have, you know, I don't dread when I wake up, hit the alarm clock, and be like, oh God, I got to go to work again today. But with that said, when I was in California 2 weeks ago, I didn't want to come back. I had no desire to get on that plane and come back.
How long were you there?
5 days.
Okay, so it was close to a week. Because I feel like it's usually about it a week when I'm like, oh, I want to get back to work. Like, I want to get back and,
I mean, I was off work Thursday through Tuesday.
I would like to someday take, like, a two-week vacation, which I've never done in my life. And I don't think most Americans do anymore. I think most Americans feel like, oh, God, if I'm gone for 2 weeks, my job might not be there when I come back.
Yeah, oh, well.
You know, there's that kind of paranoia thing going. I would like to do it just because I feel like it would open up the opportunity to do something that takes 2 weeks to do. You know what I mean?
A big road trip or something.
Yeah.
So I actually was reading, I wish I could remember where it was, but this article with these, you know, quote unquote experts or whatever, and they were talking about the best way to do a vacation if you have kids, 2 weeks. Like,
yeah,
take 2 weeks consecutively. You can do things that you can't do. I guess it's just exactly what you're saying, but there's specifically if you have kids, that's the best way to do it.
That seems like to me the best way to have my kids wound up like tied up in the back seat of the car right. and you know.
But that's how I did it. When I was a kid, we used to take 2 weeks.
Did you really?
Yeah. We had, my family had a cabin in Minnesota, and we would take 2 weeks and go up there. It was great. I mean, that's one of the best memories of my childhood.
I just feel like if you want to really travel somewhere, like you said, take like a long road trip or go overseas or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have 2 weeks where you don't have to feel like you have to rush it all.
Totally.
You know, and get it
done. Yeah, that's a big part of it too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to talk to my dad about how that was for him.
Right.
You know,
right.
On that end of like having this 10-hour drive or whatever with two idiot kids in the back seat, like punching each other and stuff. But that's part of the deal.
Yeah, that things got extremely tense on the car ride home between my son and daughter at one point, which got, you know, anyway, got tense between me and them. we'll talk about
where
that.
Did this go?
Well, we need to talk about what happened then. But I would like to do that, but no, I genuinely, and I do think it had me questioning a little bit, like the work-life balance thing that you always hear about. Is like, am I too into my job? Do I need, you know, unplug? Don't worry about this stuff for a week. But I do feel like we're in a different situation. Like, it'd be one thing if I was obsessed with the TPS reports that I had to deal with.
Right.
But I mean, like, I genuinely couldn't wait to get back home because I was really excited for the Sporting Kansas City game. I got to call on Saturday. Like, it's a game I get to go watch, you know, and that's what I like to do. That's what I'd be doing with my free time. So it's fun to be back. But it is fun to be gone for a while because it maybe helps you, what's the word? Get that perspective, too, that, like, how much you do like it.
Yeah, you know? No, I think that's a good point. Like, when I'm on vacation, I want to check the role, you know, like I want to see how they did last night. And, you know, especially this last week I was with some people who happen to be Tigers fans, and they were interested, you know, at the beginning of the week, about how those games are. So it's I think it is different when your job involves things that you would do on your free time anyway.
Right.
You know, that probably is a little bit different than, yeah, I mean, my wife does interior design. Like when she's on vacation, she's not worried about like her invoices and stuff like that. Like that's not on her. Yeah. That's not her MO.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where my wife's at. She likes her job a lot, but she was more than ready to forget completely about it for a week.
Right.
Okay. So let's, when it's just me and you in here, I always like to give you your choice on where you want to go first. And we, again, are coming back from a week when we were gone, but also just a weekend where a lot of stuff happened.
I know.
So we can...
Sorry, Vahe.
Yeah. Have at it, Vahe. Which, by the way, and I know you're as big of a fan of the person Vahe Gregorian as I am.
Absolutely.
He did a great job.
He did.
With some great perspective on some very, you know... nuanced situations. So, Jeremy Maclin getting cut, Royals treading water, with the Astros coming to town, Bill Snyder with a bizarre situation. I don't know if there's anything else. The NBA Finals are a foregone conclusion at this point. I've already declared them over.
Yeah.
Which I know that last year they, you know, blew them out in the 3-1. First two games, but it's this is different. So any of those, where would you like to begin?
I feel like we should start with Jeremy Maclin.
All right. I because that was the news. Well, I would say that and the Bill Snyder thing totally raised my eyebrows, but Maclin didn't raise my eyebrows. It was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That doesn't happen very much where you get, especially like local, two things that happen that you would never have guessed. Bill Snyder kind of losing his mind for a second, and then the Chiefs cutting their most proven receiver. So like in hindsight, and this is all hindsight, I didn't realize that the salary cap save after June 1st. I guess it makes some sense, but the part that, so when you see the headline, or in my case, it was a text, from the Chiefs that when they announced it or whatever, it doesn't make any sense at all. It is a shocker. It is a, what in the hell are they doing? And then when you hear that they didn't go back and at least ask him to take a pay cut, like that's weird, right? Like I know that you know, there was a report that they tried to trade him, and that makes sense. But you know, why not at least ask him? And it makes you wonder what else is going on, you know. And that's just blind speculation, but you can't help but wonder why not just ask him, because now, you know. The most experienced receiver on your team now is 24 years old, you know, and you know.
And what's his career high, like 500 yards receiving? Are we talking about Conley?
They're all 20, you know, like Albert Wilson.
He's the most experienced technically by years.
So you're asking Chris Conley to make a big jump, which he hasn't done yet. He's shown flashes.
He took a big step forward last year. I'm not saying.
But now you're asking him to be a legitimate number two, or maybe even number one. You're asking Tyreek Hill to be that guy, and maybe some more. You're kind of dumping on, you know, you spent the last 2 years talking about not just Jeremy Maclin's talent and work ethic and drive, but his example and his leadership and all that. And you're kind of taking a dump on that. You know, you're kind of saying either we were blowing that up too much, or, you know, maybe he's done enough already. You know, just from a football point of view, I know that the games that Maclin missed last year, Travis Kelce picked it up, you know, and so maybe that's what you're looking for, is for Travis Kelce to have a, you know, a 1,500 yard kind of season. But, you know, I thought it's dangerous to reach into like between the lines kind of thing. But Alex Smith's comments the other day, I thought said a lot, you know, because he's the guy that Maclin being released affects Alex Smith more than anybody else on the team, like in a potentially negative way.
Yeah.
And that did not seem like a guy that was like, you know, whatever the team wants, I'm for whatever. That seemed like, hell are they doing to me?
Right.
You know, they just drafted this guy that can throw twice as far as I can, and that everybody wants to start right now. And then they took away my, you know, kind of safety blanket. And look, I know they weren't on the same page and all that stuff last year. They never developed that cohesion, but they obviously had a respect for each other. And you know, if you need to save money to sign your draft picks, I get it. But there's got to be other ways. There's just got to be other ways.
Well, and if you need to cut your number one receiver to be able to sign your draft picks, then shame on you.
Yes, yes, yes. That's
a
great point.
Yeah, you've managed your salary cap very poorly.
And they have.
You know,
ever since
have.
Dorsey got here, basically.
And they're always in cap trouble, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And like we talk about it all the time. Like we watch the Denver Broncos go sign guys constantly. We're like, how are they finding salary cap space for this?
Yep.
How are they pulling this off? Where it seems like the Chiefs are always in the situation like, well, man, how are they going to afford to sign their draft picks? I mean, you know, so shame on you if that's the only reason behind this is because you couldn't afford to keep him, mm-hmm. you know, and also you gave up a draft pick to sign him right. because of the whole, I'm pausing right now because I'm talking about an organization that since this regime took over has done nothing but win games and go to the playoffs.
Sure.
So they took a horrible situation and they've made it good.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not trying to just blast away at them, but there are certain things where like the Justin Houston situation from the not signing him until he had his career year, then signing him, then not really getting much from him since then because of the whatever bizarre recurring knee injury thing. Mm-hmm. That's been a mess. Mm-hmm. The Macklin thing basically from the start's been a pretty big mess.
He had a good first year with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good year.
Yeah.
But signed him to a $55 million deal, lost a draft pick because you tampered when you probably didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And now you're cutting him. I mean,
yeah. They've been, maybe this is what you're saying, but they've been terrific. They've been terrific at everything but the cap, you know,
I guess
everything but the cap and giving media access. But, and you're right. Like the Houston thing, the Barry thing, they signed him a year too late.
Right.
You know, Tom Bahali, that was a big mess. You know, they continually put themselves in these positions. You're right. Like I remember when the Broncos, DeMarcus Ware was the big one when the Broncos signed him, and it was like, hell are they doing?
Aqib Talib, like how they had to keep Talib in this team.
It's like they just get an exemption. Like 31 teams have to follow the salary cap, except for the Broncos. So whatever the Broncos are doing, in some ways, it's like the Chiefs are doing the opposite. And look, they're both winning. The Broncos are winning Super Bowls, but you know the Chiefs have still won games, but you still, you know, when you get to this point where, you know, if you squint hard enough, you can at least see a Super Bowl possibility. You need that extra 5%. You need that extra 10%. And, you know, there is no argument in the world. The Chiefs wouldn't even make this argument that they're a better football team without Jeremy Maclin. And when you're essentially, that is a big part of it. Obviously, if the salary cap didn't exist, I'd be with the Chiefs. You know, when he's not with the Chiefs because you've mismanaged the cap, then, you know, absolutely that's on you.
Last year, the Chiefs finished 20th in the NFL in yards per game. They finished 13th in points per game, but we talked about how, boy, a lot of that came from, you know, pick sixes from Eric Berry and things like that.
Returns by Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
I don't think anybody would. Yeah, right. The special team situation. I don't think many people would argue that this offense was a great offense last year. It was at best mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
So how has this offense gotten better? I mean, Kareem Hunt would be like the one hope for this offense to be better, right? And like you said, and guys taking steps forward.
Yeah, but
that's the hope. I mean,
yeah, I get, they can get more out of their backs, I guess. I do think their line is pretty decent. It's athletic. It's good for that system. Chris Conley is a guy that you'd expect to go forward. Alex Smith had a really bad year last year. He was not nearly as good as he should be as he was the year before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can get that guy, and I'm talking mostly about like pocket presence and the ability to run and, you know, where have you heard this before? Take a few more shots downfield. You know, if he can be, you know, the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, somewhere around there, instead of the 25th or whatever, you know, that'll help them. But they need Jeremy Maclin. And I just don't understand why it's impossible that he would have been more, let me get my ears straight, more 2015 than 2016 this upcoming season. He had it all there, you know. Yeah. He is a proud, talented guy, and it was all there for him to have a good year. And I still feel like he'll have a good year somewhere else.
Okay, so let me throw this out there because I think you bring up a really good question. If they didn't ask him to take a pay cut or rework his deal, they just cut him mm-hmm. without even giving him a choice. It does beg the question, okay, is this only about the salary cap? We've also talked about the fact that, you know, Stephen St. John asked anybody who would speak on behalf of the Chiefs if they ever discussed reworking the contract of Alex Smith to save more money against the cap. And Alex Smith said nobody's approached to talk to me about it. And the Chiefs basically said, no, they haven't talked about it. Look, maybe that's because they don't want to. If they rework Alex Smith's deal, then they might have to be committed to him for more years. Uh-huh. And maybe that's why they didn't want to even approach that. But is it possible that the Chiefs looked at that decline in production from Jeremy Maclin at 29? He's only 29, but at 29 years old and with his injuries and said, he's not, we were better without him last year. That he literally does not help the team. Is that possible? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. Like, is it possible that they just decided he's lost it? He's not the same guy anymore.
I do think it's possible in the context of we're looking for reasons.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I disagree with that. I think.
I mean, I was thinking that maybe one of their best chances to improve the offense was bounce back year from Jeremy Maclin.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. 100%. And look, like, I'd want to go back and watch the games that he missed. And maybe I'll do that this week, actually. But Travis Kelce had, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he had really big games in the games that Jeremy Maclin missed. And so maybe they feel like this opens up more opportunities for Travis Kelce. Because Travis Kelce is a more physically talented player than Jeremy Maclin. He's, you know, a bigger playmaker. Him and Tyreek Hill are the best two playmakers mm-hmm. on the offense. Mm-hmm. But I still... When you say that, it's true, but I still think you need a reliable, consistent guy to kind of fill the gaps. And at the very least, that can be Jeremy Maclin. And I'm thinking back to a couple specific conversations I had with people last year inside the Chiefs. And this was like, one was midway through the season, one was a couple weeks after that, about Jeremy Maclin. And, you know, hell's going on here, you know, like what's, yeah, he's not performing, what's going, and they both, and look, like maybe they were just BSing me or whatever, maybe I'm naive, but I believe them, and they both said, you know, there's nothing wrong here, he hasn't had, some of it is physical, he's been hurt, you know, some of it, we need to get the ball to him more, but we believe in him, he's going to have a big year going forward and all that stuff, he's a huge part of what we do, we need him to be at his best, and I thought about those conversations when I saw the news, and it's just, look, either they were lying or spinning or whatever at that point, or they saw something in the second half of that season that was just like, he doesn't have it anymore. Let's walk away. You know, like we always talk about, you know, the Patriots and look, like they've built a credibility that no other organization in football has built. But we always say the Patriots are great at walking away from a guy a year too early rather mm-hmm. than a year too late. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what the Chiefs are doing here. I don't know, but I tend to think that Jeremy Maclin had another year in him. I really do, at least.
I mean, at 29 years old, he should, but we do know the guys age differently. I will say this. Last year, I saw a guy that was never open. Like, yeah. Even when he made
separation,
catches.
Yep.
Yeah, even when he made catches, it was like, wow, what a catch, because he had uh-huh. a guy draped all over him. The two games that stood out to me at the very beginning of the year against Houston, he got 15 targets from Alex Smith, 6 catches. And it wasn't like, boy, Alex yeah. Smith just missed him on that one. It was like either they were on the wrong, they were not, he didn't do what Alex Smith expected him to do, or he just wasn't open. And yeah. then the only other time he got double-digit targets last year was the Colts game, and he got targeted 10 times, 3 catches. Uh-huh. You know, like it just, and Jake's rolling your eyes at me because you think I'm making excuses for Alex Smith. Let's be honest.
No, I'm going to say in that Colts game, the reason, he had, what, how many targets did you say?
10.
And how much of that game did Alex Smith play?
Oh, that was, that's right. That
not
was,
very much.
Right? So you're saying he got more targets because
people may have been looking further downfield.
Well, Alex Smith threw the ball a ton to Jeremy Maclin in 2015. A ton. He targeted Macklin more than anybody on the team.
Right.
And this year, I mean, and by the way, so even your boy, Nick Foles, targeted him 10 times, 3 catches. So even when Nick Foles was throwing it to him, it wasn't turning into catches.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was one play in the playoff game against Pittsburgh. He got 4 targets, 2 catches, and I believe one of the targets was an interception, if I remember correctly. I was sitting in the same place for that game in the Raiders game, but I remember a couple of plays in those two games where it was like Alex Smith was determined, I'm throwing the ball to Jeremy Macklin on this play, and it was like, he is so covered.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the one thing that I will say is that he never looked open last year, yeah. You know?
Another thing that sticks out, I do that Houston game, I don't know who to blame that on, but they just were missing each other.
Yeah.
They were just two people reading different things. But the other thing I remember, I wish I could remember which game it was, but he kind of threw a fit. He ran down the field, and it looked like, watching live, it looked like he was wide open, and mm-hmm. Alex just flat out didn't see him and threw the ball somewhere else, and he kind of threw a little fit mm-hmm. on the field. And I remember thinking, you know, good for him. He was open. Like, mm-hmm. Alex should have thrown the ball. And after the game, he was a pro about it. I remember asking him about it, and he basically just said, I've got to do a better job keeping my emotions in check. But if you went back and looked at that play, he wasn't open. You know, Alex broke, he didn't have the chance to get him the ball. And I wonder about little things like that, little frustrations that Macklin was showing. And, you know, he's a guy, he's a proud guy. And I do believe that he wants to win. I do believe that he would rather, you know, if we can paraphrase an old cliche, like he would rather his team win and he get one catch for 8 yards than lose and he gets, you know, 8 catches for 100 yards. But he'd much, 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 much rather win and he gets those 8 catches for 100 and some yards. Like, it's, you know, he really needs to perform and feel like he's contributing to success, or, you know, I don't think he's entirely happy. And I don't know, maybe they're reading into that. This is all speculation because we don't, you know, at least I don't have a whole lot of information from them. They've been really tight-lipped, even by their standards.
Well, we'll talk about that. And Andy Reid threatening to shut down OTA media access after this with Sam Mellinger here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, the Border Patrol continues on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Sam Mellinger in studio. We're talking Chiefs right now. OTAs will continue this week. And Sam, you better not pummel Andy Reid. You hear me?
Good grief.
Do you hear me? Are we clear?
I'm not clear yet. I need to hear it directly from him.
We'll play it for you in a second.
All right.
Jake asked me the question earlier, so I'll ask it of you. Is that Andy Reid annoyed that he keeps getting asked about it? Or is that Andy Reid annoyed that these guys aren't actually there? And that's why he's snapping at a pretty innocuous question. Here's Andy Reid, if you didn't catch this at the end of last week when he was asked this time about why Dee Ford wasn't at OTA.
So let me tell you how I work on this whole thing about guys not being here. I can allow you out here one time. If I get pummeled, right, I want everybody here. If I get pummeled on who's here and not here, we'll just do the one. We come out here, you give you every day that you can talk to these guys. Don't worry about all that. It's a voluntary camp. That's how I'm going to answer it every time you ask. Understand that. All right, next question, please.
I like pummeled. Like, doesn't that insinuate like some physical, you know, you're in danger?
Or like, why isn't Dee Ford here? Yeah. Answer the question, Andy Reid. What are you hiding?
Right.
Who are you protecting? You know?
Or is it just like some sports media folks asking, like, hey, Dee Ford's not here. What's going on?
Yeah. So why is Andy Reid so mad about that?
Well, I mean, I think he probably is legitimately, he expects, or at least he should expect, to be answered the question at least once. And he expects, or at least should expect, to be answered the question again in a different way. I guess I have some sympathy for if he felt like it was the same thing that was asked, you know, the fourth or fifth time. But I also think that he's an adult, and I think that he's a well-paid NFL coach who is in his, what, like 19th season or something doing this. This is not new to him. I don't think the Kansas City media has a reputation for pummeling people with hard questions such as Why is somebody not at an OTA? And if that is legitimately the end of it, then Andy Reid's in the wrong line of work. I think Andy Reid is in the right line of work, and that makes me think that he's annoyed at these guys missing camp, or at least the reasons. And you know, I like Dee Ford, and you know, there's every possibility that something came up with him, that he had a family emergency, best friend's wedding. I don't, you know, there's a million legitimate reasons for Dee Ford missing camp, and maybe they didn't feel like they could say that if that does exist. But my gosh, man, like if you're an NFL coach and it's the beginning of June and you're kind of losing your cool at questions like that, it could be a long season.
Well, we don't usually see Andy Reid lose his cool.
Right. Yeah, it's very unlike him. Yeah. He's very detached,
yeah,
to the point where if you are in his press conferences regularly, he is so detached that sometimes you just wonder if he's hearing the question, you know, if it's just a robot talking about, you know, their good football team, you know, times years. Like, and that was, I can't remember. I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened in a press conference that he's, the closest thing I can think of is when we were, God, where were we? It was a road game, and they just got smoked. They absolutely got smoked. And he kind of pulled a Bill Belichick and said, you know, we're just worried about the, I think it was even Cincinnati the next week. Like, we're just on to Cincinnati. We're on, you know, it was basically that. And that was as close as I can remember off the top of my head to him, you know, I won't say losing it, but, you know, getting a little emotional.
Yeah, I remember a couple times last year during weekly press conferences where he'd say something like, I'm not sure I like where you're going with these questions.
Yeah.
Like, that's as far as I remember him going. Not like, I'm going to turn this car around, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what, that's what that was.
That is,
you know,
what that
I don't have to let you guys come here.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if part of it is, look, old school coaches, this is all supposition on our part. Like, we're playing, sure, you know, Sigmund Freud here and trying to get inside somebody's brain. But old school coaches, and Andy Reid is an old school coach. He is a player's coach. He's great to his players. Mm-hmm. He gives them a lot of leeway and freedom on the field to express themselves, all those things. But at the end of the day, he's all about football. Like, he's entirely consumed with football. And so for me, I would think it'd be hard for him to understand why somebody wouldn't want to be at OTAs. Mm-hmm. And this is a relatively still new process where it is optional. He cannot criticize anybody for not being there. If he does, the union will throw a fit.
Sure.
Because it's not optional. If your boss criticizes you for not doing something, then it becomes not optional. Mm-hmm. If your boss comes to you and says, hey, I'd really like you to write something about this, Sam, but it's your choice, mm-hmm, you then have the, your choice is, do I piss my boss off or mm-hmm not, you know? Mm-hmm. So he can't. He can't say it. And that's got to be a little frustrating for him, even if he is a little miffed that they're not there,
yeah,
the fact that he can't say anything. So I get that. But it does make me wonder a little bit, because I keep coming back to it, should I care or not that all these veteran players are not at OTAs? And I don't know the answer. I know that Eric Berry wasn't at OTAs last year, but that he was great anyway.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, for me, this should be the type of team that feels like, okay, we won the division. We got close to getting to the AFC Championship game, but we have a lot of unfinished business here. We're more motivated than ever. The Kansas City Royals, when they lost, in Game 7 of the World Series, wasn't it like the next year at spring training, everybody couldn't wait to get there and showed up like before the pitchers and catchers, yeah, even had to report because we got unfinished business and, yeah, we are motivated and we're ready to go. Mm-hmm. That's what I was hoping to see from this Chiefs team, and this doesn't show me that. Am I overreacting to that? But I'm a little worried about that like, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a sense from guys like Marcus Peters and Justin Houston and Dee Ford that, I don't have anything left to prove. I've made it. I know what I'm doing as a pro, and I'll be ready to go by the time the season starts. And I guess I feel like this team should have more of an edge to them and more of a chip on their shoulder. Am I wrong about that?
No, and look, like I think in sports, right, we tend to program ourselves to have like a reaction at either extreme. And I guess I'm falling like somewhere on the spectrum between apathy and offense or whatever. Like, I think they should be there, I'm really like D Ford. Come on, man. Like,
yeah, you have not arrived. You know? You had like a really good 4-game stretch last year, but
Eric Berry last year, 2 years ago, didn't go because he was fighting cancer.
Right.
Pretty good reason.
Right.
Last year, didn't go because he was trying to get a new contract. That's the most basic, you know, most common reason. This year, maybe. It's worked the last couple of years, whatever. Right. But Eric Berry's a star, man. Like, Eric Berry can do it, I guess. And I'd still like him to go. Like, it'd be nice, you know, for everybody
Houston,
else.
You just got paid, man. Yeah. You got paid big time, you know?
So, I wish they were there. I think they should be there, but I don't have it in me to be, like, offended by it. And I don't think that, I don't think it's going to matter in September. You know, I don't think it's going to matter. And they can even spin it like, you know, some other guys are getting snaps and whatever else. But I'm the most surprised that D Ford missed a day. I'm you know, after that, I'm a little surprised that Marcus Peters didn't make it. But, I you know.
Marcus again, Peters has underwear to sell, man.
Yeah. I think they should be there. I think the coaches probably should be and are disappointed in those decisions. But I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I'm not offended. I'm just mildly concerned.
Sure.
If it's an indication that the fire isn't lit under this team the way that I feel like it should be after, I mean, I feel like it should be really sticking in their craw what happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, that should be the kind of thing that they're still pissed about. You know, that how did we not beat that team? We had home field advantage to get to the AFC Championship game, and we couldn't even win a game at home. You know, we had it tied. He got called back on a penalty. We are out for, and maybe they are, but this, like, having a bunch of your best players not show up to OTAs isn't like, that doesn't indicate that to me. That's the only thing. I'm not offended.
Yeah.
I'm
just, no, I understand what you're saying.
I'm just mildly concerned.
It's not the sign you want, you know, and I think it's, you know, not that we really needed it. It's one more of a gajillion signs that human beings, not just athletes, but human beings act in their own self-interest, right? Like, Chris Conley is not missing. DeAnthony Thomas is not missing.
Right.
You know, Marcus Peters is going to play. He's going to be playing corner. He's going to be bump and run, you know, no matter what. Justin Houston's going to, you know, like, we all act in our own self-interest, and I think that's what's going on here. But yeah, I agree with you. It's not the sign you want, but I just don't know how much of an effect it really is going to have.
All right, we'll take a break. Back after this, more with Sam Mellinger on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, we have Sam Mellinger in studio, fresh off of vacation. We've broken down the Chiefs, and we haven't gotten to the Royals or Bill Snyder yet. I'm going to go ahead and say we pass on the Royals for now, Sam, unless you strongly object, just because they're kind of in that treading water position.
Yeah. I feel like we'd say the same thing we said last week.
Nothing's changed. Yep. They went 500 since then, so they haven't gained ground. They haven't lost ground. Really, they're roughly in the same spot. So, like you said, the more man-bites-dog story is the Bill Snyder situation. And I'll just ask you for your reaction as you saw that unfold last week.
I was, like the Macklin, I was shocked. Bill Snyder just doesn't do things like that. He doesn't, and I'm talking specifically about the comment where he seemed to say that that Sutton failed drug tests, plural. And I thought Vahe put it really well. The man who is in control of everything couldn't control himself in that moment. And I don't know why, I don't know the specifics of why he picked this fight. And why he wouldn't release the kid. You're never going to win that war, no matter how powerful and beloved you are as a football coach. And I don't know how many football coaches in America are more powerful and beloved on their campuses than Bill Snyder, but it's not many. But no matter what, you are not going to win the fight when it goes public about whether you should release a kid from a scholarship if he wants out. Like, you're just not going to do that. And you know, he must have realized that, because it was quickly after he said that stupid thing that they released him from a scholarship. I was just shocked that he said it. I mean, that is a guy who doesn't give you anything in a press conference, doesn't give you anything really in an interview. I mean, I'm sure you guys have done it too. I've talked to him one-on-one, and you know, even if you get a half hour with him, it's still hard to get much out of him. And for him to just go off like that, not go off like that emotionally, but to kind of go off message is what I'm saying. To go off message like that and drop drug test rules was just really, really surprising.
And
to his credit, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but to his credit, seemed to realize that, released him basically right away when he realized his mistake. So I guess, you know, all's well that ends well, I guess. But it was just, it's a bizarre way to get there and a really bad look for a guy who I think we all respect.
Yeah, and did he realize it, or did his new athletics director come in and say, look, we got to do this now. This can't,
yeah,
you know, we can't have this.
But either way, then yeah, that guy, then Gene Taylor, the new AD, made Bill Snyder realize that.
Yeah.
You know, because I still think that Bill Snyder, you know, Gene Taylor works for Bill Snyder probably more than Bill Snyder works for Gene Taylor.
No doubt about
so
it.
So Gene Taylor still had to convince Bill Snyder, yeah, to do this. And, you know, if that's how it had to go, whether Bill recognized it on his own or whether Gene Taylor or somebody else, you know, had to talk him into it. Either way, Bill had to get there and kind of realize his mistake and admit it. So kudos for that, but just a mistake that never should have been made.
When I saw the quotes first, I read the quotes before the retraction or whatever you call it, the apology. Immediately thought to myself, I can't think of a time in college athletics where a coach has ever brought up a drug test publicly.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of a single time. Yeah. And I don't like saying that because a lot of times your memory just escapes you. Like, well, I don't remember the last time somebody, I saw a triple play in a baseball game or whatever, sure, you know? And then somebody says, well, actually it happened 3 weeks ago. Uh-huh. You idiot. What? But I really don't. Like, I feel like that's the type of thing that is extremely private. And I think even in Vahe's article, there are privacy laws about this type of thing. But like, we always hear, like, there's some football player, basketball player serves a one-game suspension for violation of team rules. And then you'll kind of hear in the, you know, from the back channels, oh, he failed the drug test or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you'll never hear anything public about it. Like, they are extremely private about it. So it stunned me when I saw it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He's...
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that? Like, do you remember a coach ever, you know,
no,
doing that?
No, I don't. And he did violate. I mean, he gave himself a little bit of an out because the quote was, everybody knows who he was talking about, but the quote was, I guess, vague enough that he didn't say.
He said, like, here's a young man.
Yeah, he didn't say.
He didn't say his name.
Sutton. Yeah, he didn't say this guy. But, you know, even when you talk on background, like, you'll hear people in and around K-State on background talk about, you know, certain guys that had troubles or, you know, you'll hear people say at K-State that their standards for drug tests are higher than most other colleges, that you can fail a test. I've heard people say this. You can fail a test at K-State for a level that you would pass at other schools, that they voluntarily, you know, raise the levels. But even that's like, this didn't come from me kind of thing. And you know, for Bill Snyder to a bunch of reporters, you know, that look, like, that's the kind of thing that if he said that to you one-on-one, and you weren't on the radio, live on the radio, and if it was just you guys talking, you might either assume that he meant that on background, or ask, hey, you know, is this, I can use this, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but when it's a room full of reporters and you're about to, you know, go on, and I guess I don't know if it was before or after, but you're at a Catbackers event, you know, that's pretty public, man. And, look, like, maybe he just got emotional. Maybe he, you know, was trying to make a point. But gosh, that was a mistake. That was absolutely a mistake from a guy that doesn't make that kind of mistake over a career that's, you know, going on 30 years.
So in Vahe's column, he said it was a violation of privacy policies and evidently against FERPA itself. Is this over? I mean, because they released him, is Sutton just going to go on his way now and say all's well that ends well? Or is there any chance that this becomes an issue for K-State?
I would imagine that he's going to be contacted by lawyers, you know, and I guess that's up to him. I don't know if they would, you know, have a successful case on that. I don't even know what the punishments would be. But my guess is that he's okay just going on, you know, and if he goes somewhere that, you know, he gets to play K-State, he'll have some extra motivation or whatever. But my assumption, like, that's how I think I would feel. And you never know until you're in those shoes. But I think the way I would feel is like, I got out. Let's go concentrate on the next place.
Yeah.
But
move on to the next thing.
Who knows?
It is,
and it does like. And I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but I do understand. You know, look, like I think we'd all wish players who transfer would all wish that there were fewer transfers in college sports, right? But I do understand if his side of the story is correct. I do understand why he wanted to leave. If he wanted a red shirt and they said, "Don't red shirt, you're going to start," and so he was talked into that, didn't play much, burned a year. I get why he'd be frustrated, you know, and look, like maybe there had to be some other reasons and maybe he needs to play through that or whatever, but I get why he's frustrated.
Yeah. Look, on the principle of it, I think like, I think about it sometimes as a father. I think that I would encourage my kid to stay wherever he was and not basically quote unquote run away from his problems or, you know, look for an easier path. I think most oftentimes the guys that stick it out are rewarded for that.
Uh-huh.
So from that principle of it, I'm not a big fan of all the transfers.
Sure.
At the same time, I don't know that it's right for athletics departments that are getting these kids on scholarship to say, no, you can't leave, you can't play anywhere else.
No, I think it's a terrible rule that they're allowed to do that. Yeah. Absolutely, I think it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, Sam, thank you so much for the time and welcome back from your vacation. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I won't see you next week because I'll be on vacation.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're not doing the 2-week vacation. You're doing the staggered vacation.
Yeah.
1 week. Where are you going next week?
North Carolina in the mountains.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Cool, buddy. Well, we appreciate the time and we enjoy the week of Sam Ellinger columns that we get. Until then, back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.